All right, what's up, class? This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth. We're back for episode 41, and this is Teacher's Lounge session 10, officially, I believe. We're at 657,603 for the block height, and we're at 17,994 for the current price. And Nick, do you wanna preference the beginning of the show, and then we'll do it like we usually do.
So, the man behind Bitcoin Kindergarten, the whole reason why we have this show, Jeremy, his buddy from work, I believe his buddy from work, was asking him and saying, "Hey, I'm sick and tired of sitting on the sideline. I want to get into Bitcoin, and I have a few questions." And he sent him over four questions, and we told him that we would talk about the questions on here, and he would send them to his buddy. So, hi, Jeremy's friend. What's up?
Yeah, what's up, Dean? How you doing?
So, the first question is there any reason you wouldn't recommend buying now, DCA? I recommend buying now. I know as a new person coming in, it's a pretty tricky situation because I don't want to like get super bullish and say, "Oh, we're going to pump super high," and then, you know, we drop super low. Like if there's a correction, I recommend just DCAing and just forgetting about it. What do you guys recommend?
Yeah, I mean, if we're sending this to Jeremy's buddy Dean, I'm sure he's going to be listening to this within a couple of days, if not the next week. So since this is fresh off the press, I mean, I would definitely recommend buying, but I'm also a bulltard, and, you know, I buy whenever, and it doesn't matter the price to me when I buy Bitcoin because I'm just trying to accumulate as much Bitcoin as humanly possible. But if you're new to the space, the volatility definitely scares you off. And so there's definitely a learning curve when you're coming into the Bitcoin space and you're still very attached to your dollars. And so you don't want to get wrecked. But like Nick said, I think it just really depends on what your quote-unquote investment strategy is. So if you have like a lump sum, then, you know, you may want to be a little more cautious as to when you throw all your money at Bitcoin because, you know, like say within a week when you're listening to this, within a couple of days, Bitcoin does some crazy spike. You know, like even though Bitcoin doesn't really care what the charts are doing, it could dump, it could go higher. So, you know, it's really hard to say because, you know, like I don't know what your risk appetite is. I don't know what your funds are. But that's why me and Nick and a lot of our friends are just so adamant about, as Nick said, DCAing or dollar cost averaging, or as we like to say in the Bitcoin community, stacking sats. So you just want to be buying Bitcoin consistently, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, it doesn't really matter. You just want to continuously buy Bitcoin. So if you're just a guy of average means, then just, you know, make like a spending habit of what you're willing to put into Bitcoin consistently. So that could be, you know, like $5, $10, $20 a day, or, you know, a certain amount every week of your paycheck. Coming from like the richest man of Babylon, they say, you know, put 10% of your earnings and don't touch it for the long run. So that's definitely, you know, one way to go. There's people that are a lot more conservative. They say 1%, but we're all Bitcoiners here. And so we think Bitcoin is the best investment. And so as long as you hold Bitcoin long enough, it doesn't really matter when you buy, because as of now, I think the price of Bitcoin is cheap. And so anything under 20K is still the dip. And even further, like, you know, I'm going to be basically, I guess, maybe being extravagant here, but anything under 100K is still cheap in my opinion. And so, and like personally, I think it's a good time to buy, but let's see what all our other Bitcoin friends say in the chat. So guys, unmute yourself and just try to give some wisdom to someone that's trying to get into the space.
Real quick, I just want to say there's a chart out there that you can go look at. It shows the entire Bitcoin chart from 2009 till now, and almost every single day Bitcoin has existed. If you would have bought on that day, you would have profited. The only time we didn't was between here 18,000 and 20,000. So if you bought between 18,000 and 20,000, you're technically in the red. But if you bought any other day in the history of Bitcoin, you're in the green.
You can find that chart on Glassnode.
Glassnode is a great website. We can link that in the description of the video as well. Does anyone else have anything to say?
Don't be shy, boys.
I would say immediately start thinking about long-term storage. It sounds like somebody's in a rush to buy, but they haven't even considered, you know, long-term storage. So I would, you know, ask them to research things like the cold card and stuff like that to, you know, so that's my two cents.
Well, Randy, that's actually one of his questions that is later in the list. So, he's definitely thinking about it, and we'll recommend him some good things to do in a few questions. But Randy, what would you recommend him buying right now? I guess
For sure.
after you told him about cold storage and all that.
I think the most reasonable thing to do is just DCA, because you have to think about your budget and, you know, what kind of interval you're going to be buying. And so just a I just the D an automated DCA, but that kind of brings me back to the storage thing. You know, services like the Swan and Bitcoin and all this stuff, they have automatic withdrawal. So you have to have a destination for your Bitcoin when you start purchasing it. So I think the whole picture needs to be in place. You know, obviously, if he's really in a rush to start buying now, you know, there's a time, you know, there's a, you know, time that he can leave it on whatever exchange or whatever he's purchasing it from while he figures out his long-term storage. But yeah, I like the idea of just buying and forgetting. It's like I have plenty of other things to do. I just like I have to force myself to not get so, you know, fixed on watching the charts and price action because there's other shit to do. And so just that idea of DCAing and passively accumulating is it's a low stress thing too. I know plenty of people that just, you know, they purchase and but they don't want to like get involved with all the like emotional highs and lows and all this other stuff when it comes to price action. So DCA, whatever the interval is, and you, I mean, you know, it's been said plenty of times that like Bitcoin changes a person's relationship to money. And so I don't know where the person's at, but you know, it's going to force a person to take a closer look at their budget and where they're at and where they can, you know, so that's, I believe, part of the process too, is you're really going to take a new look at your relationship to money and savings and the whole thing. So there's plenty of stuff to learn, and, you know, that's my two cents.
I would just say, pretty sure everyone in this chat is still buying right now, so just want to see what we're doing. We're all buying, so take that.
Wisdom.
If you don't buy, we will.
It seems like a lot of folks, when they like first get into Bitcoin, they think of it as like this investment vehicle. Whereas here we've got like probably 20 people that are showing up on a Wednesday night, just to, because they're so excited about this like technology that is like the best savings vehicle like that humanity has ever known. And that understanding to move from like investment, like a speculative investment, to, oh my God, this technology is going to change the world. It takes a little bit of research. So like, I would say kind of like invest according to your understanding of the asset. So, you know, for every book that you read on it, you know, throw another 10% of your savings in. But you know, like whatever you're comfortable with, and you have to have an understanding to get comfortable with it and understand like what the volatility is and, you know, what that means for you. And definitely this is something that you're not going to be able to predict where the price action is going to go. So the time in the market is more important than timing the market and, you know, knowing when to buy or sell. Whereas I think most of the folks in here are probably never going to sell, but that comes with understanding of what this technology actually is.
Wow, you just saved me a whole bunch of words. I was going to say all of that. Thanks, Jessica. One thing everybody forgot. This is not financial advice.
Yeah, I'm of two minds there too, Jim, because I feel like if we're going to give responsible advice, we would say DCA, you know, make sure you're doing your own risk profile and buying Bitcoin according to that. But if I'm going to talk about what I truly believe, my full bulltard mode, then, you know, I say, fuck it, get a second mortgage, you know, get a personal loan, like, you know, lease out your car, like, you know, go do what you need to do to get as much in it as possible, because this is a bull market. It's like a tsunami is coming and you're looking at all these little waves and saying, yeah, we can put in a little bit and catch each different wave, but there's a fucking tsunami. Sorry, my language. There's a tsunami coming. You know what I mean? Like, you've seen that big wave with the, I think it's Doge on it, but it should be Bitcoin. That's coming, and you don't want to be trying to swim and paddle and use your arms to catch that. You want a speedboat that's pulling you along. Like, you want all your money in it. All right, I'm done ranting.
Yo, you just saved me a bunch more words, because I am like totally. You know, you got to study this thing. You got to decide your risk profile. The deeper you understand it, the more conviction. We're all so bullish. I'm in this thing 1,000%. Now, I would throw everything at this if I had it. I'm trying to liquidate shit. I just got a call. Someone wants to buy my excavator for like 20 some odd grand. I'm stoked. That's a whole nother Bitcoin. I'm like out of my mind. I can't believe that might actually happen. Like, yeah, man. Fuck yeah. Bull all day long. Sorry.
Let's go.
I have some thoughts and advice for newbies who are entering into the world of Bitcoin here, going into another bull cycle, which will have periods of mania. And that is, it's actually not even about Bitcoin specifically. It's rather about a mindset, about how you discover and filter through information. Because during these periods of mania, there are going to be so many people saying so many things. It is ripe for scammers. It is ripe for people who are able to capitalize on hype with no pedigree or no credentials whatsoever. Not that I have credentials, but I would advise new people coming into the space to be very wary of the voices you listen to. If you're trying to figure out if you should trust or put someone on your short list of people who know what they're talking about, go look at what they were saying in 2019, in 2018. If they've been around for 5 to 6 to 10 years, as some of these prominent voices in Bitcoin are, I would look at what they were saying when Bitcoin was not behaving in a straight up scenario. I would look at thought pieces they put out, whether they're adding to the narrative or conversation about what Bitcoin is, how to build upon it. So I just advise people to, instead of try to jump from who's saying the coolest, hottest, most galvanizing thing, but rather try to cultivate a list of people who really know what they're talking about and who can communicate to you useful information and useful things.
Excellent advice. That's your due diligence, folks. You have to decide from all the people speaking who knows what they're saying. You got to judge it against what other people are saying, and then eventually the signal comes through the noise.
Yeah, and I mean, I know a lot of now Bitcoin maximalists dabbled in shitcoins or altcoins back in 2017. Maybe that was your introduction to the world of cryptocurrency. And it's not because you're dumb. It's because it takes some time to filter through all the noise. And there's so much noise. And so I think people should be wary of the next year, because right now the community exists. It's very small comparatively in the Bitcoin world, but it's going to get very big, and it's going to get very noisy. And the prominent people who we consider to be loud and noisy and to be like titans of the industry and titans of the narrative will be challenged. There'll be a lot of people who don't even exist yet who are out there at the forefront saying all sorts of crazy stuff. So, you know, look at what people have said over time and then map that onto the future.
Hey, one thing I want to throw in is if a person finds themselves too emotional, they should, getting back to what you're saying, have a friend that you trust that's into it and this kind of stuff, and like do a sanity check. Do, you know, like bounce these things off of somebody else, because you know you do make mistakes when you're like emotional, and that's where a lot of people get into trouble, you know, especially when the hype just gets out of control. People are going to do things when they're like in a emotional state, the euphoria stuff. And so definitely have like a sounding board, do sanity checks with your friends and this kind of stuff. I think it's a good thing to do.
Well, that sounds like a lot of really good advice that I wish I had getting into this space. And I think we're collectively saying that, yes, you should be buying some Bitcoin, but just check yourself before you get wrecked. So we've been going on that one for a while. Does anyone have something that they're dying to say before we change the topics to the next one?
One more thing.
Get it, Randy.
If you're overextending yourself, you could put yourself in a pinch where you're forced to sell. So that is like, that's a bad thing to do, is don't get yourself in such a pinch that like you're financially, you know, not doing well because you're like putting too much in and you're neglecting your like actual real life and this kind of stuff. That's not healthy either. And so don't overextend yourself either, because you could be forced to sell. So I think that's an important thing to do too.
Yeah, super great advice. Tony, you want to say something?
Agreed. Yes, just a little note on that one. I completely agree with everything that you guys said before. One thing that if we're 100% in Bitcoin, it means that we're 100% risk off asset. I think allocating 1% in like a risky business is kind of reasonable for me personally. So theoretically, it is possible to leverage yourself. So you lock in this 1% of your BTC, you get whatever magic stablecoin you choose, and then you convert it into BTC again, and then you leverage this again. So you lock this BTC again, you get another whatever USD coin and get more BTC, and then you can basically outstand yourself like into infinity with this 1% risky kind of business allocation. That's how I see it, yeah.
Definitely not for the noob. You have to know what you're doing to bust that move. Okay. Well, I think we've covered that one pretty well. Shouts out to Dean. Hopefully he's hitting that smash buy right now. The next question is, do you get to make an offer like setting a limit on stocks, or do you just buy at market? Well, you can do both. Bitcoin's a mature market. So depending on where you're buying your Bitcoins from, you can put in limit orders and, you know, hopefully buy some Bitcoins on the cheap. You don't necessarily have to buy off, you know, just market price. But say if you're using some different Bitcoin buying platforms, then you're probably just market buying them. So you can do both. And yeah, so I think that one's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I think you covered it.
Yeah, and so this next one is, I think this one will be a pretty good discussion, even though it's a pretty straightforward answer, but I think we'll be able to recommend some good sites here. So would you recommend downloading the Cash App and just purchasing through that? And so, well, personally, like, I'll start off. I usually kind of do that to my friends because I'm pretty aware that a lot of them already have Cash App on their phone. So they're not necessarily downloading another app to buy Bitcoin. It's just kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, hey, do you have Cash App already on your phone? They say yes. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, you can just buy Bitcoin through that. Like, you don't have to go out of your way to, you know, buy Bitcoin. But personally, I may recommend some other Bitcoin apps or Bitcoin services. But I'd like to hear what everyone else's thoughts are. Would you tell someone that doesn't have Cash App to download Cash App as your go-to place to buy Bitcoin? Or would you recommend something like River or Swan or even maybe like some kind of exchange or what have you? Or Ellen Strike, Bake?
I tell people Swan now just because I know that Swan will not steer them wrong. Cash App, I mean, they've been good so far, but they have stocks on their platform, and I don't trust them long-term to not sell out and start selling shit coins, you know, just as the competition with Coinbase and PayPal ramps up, you know, Coinbase and PayPal have no scruples. They sell shit coins, and Cash App may someday say that they're going to get into the shitcoin business. But Swan has been amazing. They'll never go that path. And they put out so much great content. And I just think they're a better actor. And I trust them. I think River is probably the same as well, although I don't have as much experience with them. But yeah. I mean, the one thing with Swan is that, right, they don't allow lump sum buys, right? It's just DCA only.
I think they just added lump sum buys, or they're like literally on the verge of rolling it out. So.
Yeah,
it's like coming. It's like coming within the couple of weeks, if not already out.
Yeah, I mean, Swan to me is just they've done so much with the community that I feel like it's good to reward them with that with some business.
And they're all solid Bitcoiners, like a solid top tier Bitcoin crew over there.
Yeah, I mean, I tell new people to get. I mean, if you're brand new Bitcoin, I tell them to get Yang Pritzker's book. Inventing Bitcoin, I think that's just the best intro that's out there.
Beautiful. Something that comes to mind with that question is it assumes the person is going to be using a mobile application. And so I would emphasize to take two-factor authentication seriously because SIM swapping is real. And so that's something that you should really implement from the get-go, especially when you're using like mobile applications. The other thing is services that allow you to whitelist your withdrawal addresses. And so you want to really minimize your withdrawal addresses by whitelisting your withdrawal addresses. And so that can tie into the other thing, whether it's like using a cold card where you export your wallet addresses and this kind of stuff. So there's a lot to that, but the main thing is locking down your phone because SIM swapping is real. So take that stuff seriously.
I want to disagree on that, though. You should. Whitelisting addresses is generally a terrible practice because, like, if you're only using a couple addresses, then you're like going to really fuck your privacy if that's what, something you care about. So, I mean, just generally just, like, generating a new address and withdrawing to that and, like, never using that address again is, like, that's the best practice. But if you're, like, dealing with large amounts of money, like hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe you can do that. But if you're just like an average pleb, it's probably better to save yourself on privacy and use like new addresses every time.
Yeah, I agree with Ben. And but, I wanted to expand.
That's like a, it's very like, when you're making your first buy, it's not really something you should be worrying about. It's more so just like, this is something you'll worry about in a few months. And right now, like, you're just making your first purchase and like withdrawing it will be something that will be new to you, and you don't need to care about like addresses really yet. It's gonna be something you'll learn about as you get more into the rabbit hole.
Yeah, but, Ben's right. Long term, you want to not reuse addresses, but for newbies, for people who are just getting into it, who they're trying to make their first 10 DCA buys, whitelisting is probably, it just adds a redundancy. But it lets you not lose Bitcoin while you can learn how to improve your OPSEC.
Bubba,
I wanted to add on to that with something that Randy said that was pretty important, because when you talked about using two-factor authentication and you know, not being succumbed to SIM swapping, that's pretty important because there's two different ways. There's multiple ways of two-factor authentication. You can use, you know, the Google Authenticator app. You can use Authy. And then sometimes you can just use your cell phone if they give you the option. And the two-factor will send you a code to your phone. You don't want to do that. You know, if you see the option to use SMS, you want to opt out of that and only use one of the apps or the authenticator apps that you can use to ensure you get a code to your phone and it's not going to just a SIM card. So that's kind of what Randy meant when he says, make sure you use two-factor authentication correctly, even if you're a noob, because, you know, if they SIM swap your phone, they're getting into your account and they're taking your Bitcoin.
Yeah, but before we make things too scary with all the complexity that's involved in this, the most important thing when you're going to buy Bitcoin is that whatever platform you're going to use, it needs to be able to have the functionality so that you can withdraw your Bitcoin. And the when you withdraw your Bitcoin, like, any decent software, that wallet software, will be able to validate that it is indeed real Bitcoin. And then you will actually hold the keys to your Bitcoin, because that's the whole point of this thing. You're going to buy this asset that has number go up technology, and you're going to want to secure it yourself. And there's a whole learning process there. But yeah, the most important part is that you are able to withdraw it, and then you use that ability.
Yeah. So just to elaborate on what Jesper's saying, what he's saying is basically, as of now, currently, don't buy your Bitcoin off PayPal or Robinhood or something of those sorts, because currently you can't withdraw your Bitcoins. And if you can't withdraw Bitcoins, then you're technically just receiving a Bitcoin IOU. And you want to be able to withdraw your Bitcoins to your own wallet. So like Vake was saying, you know, we're friends with the Swan Bitcoin guys. And I know that Nick has used River Financial. So I think those two would be probably the two highest recommended Bitcoin-only on-ramps around here, because they're not going to steer you the wrong way. They're created by really solid Bitcoiners. And then, if you know, there's other routes that you can go. Like I know that friends stack with Ellen Strike. But then it's just, you know, like, we're adding complexity to it. So if you just kind of want to buy and hold, buy consistently, then go the Swan Bitcoin or the River Financial route, and then as time goes on, you can start getting a little more complex. Nick, did you want to add some things?
No, I think you guys hit everything perfectly. Yeah.
One thing that I want to mention with Swan is that it has a routing and an account number. And so that's actually a pretty cool thing that a lot of other services don't have. So you can actually, there's multiple ways to deposit money into Swan through routing and this kind of stuff or whatever. So that's an interesting thing that they have going on over there.
Awesome. All right. Well, here is the. Bubba.
I wanted to add one more thing, and it's about River, because I know we didn't mention it too much, but I use River a lot. I used to use Swan, and River gives a much more of a sophisticated, platform with a phone number you can just call up. So if you're talking to older boomers or, sophisticated people that just want somebody to talk to on the phone, they really give you a good interface for people to feel comfortable buying their first Bitcoins. So it's not as app friendly as Swan in terms of your mobile phone, but it's a really good website and it has a lot of metrics and statistics on it. So, you can check that one out too. And to Vic's point, they're full Bitcoiners, just like Swan. You know, those guys are all in. So you can't go wrong with either one of those.
Yeah, agreed. I've seen some of the dashboard statistic capabilities of River, and they're pretty. It's pretty beautiful. I'm kind of blown away by all the cool stuff that you can watch on your Bitcoin purchases from River.
Yeah, you're literally allowed to track like the exact performance of each and every single purchase, and it also gives you your tax information if you choose to do that as well.
Beautiful. All right, yeah, so I mean, just come around if you're still listening, Dean. We would recommend using Cash App if that's the way you want to choose, because, it's on your phone. It's super simple, super easy to use. I know a lot of us still use Cash App to hit with our FOMO buys, but we're trying to steer our friends and our new friends, our new coiners, to go to more streamlined Bitcoin companies so that they don't hurt themselves. They're in good hands, and there's just some uncertainties with other companies. And so we don't want to hurt our friends and our families that are trying to get into Bitcoin. And so hence why we recommend either Swan or River and just Bitcoin only companies, because there's a lot of ways where you can shoot yourself in the foot. But if you're going to Bitcoin only companies, then you're going to be 100 times better.
I just want to throw out there, make sure, like these are all good services, but don't go and sign up for all of them, like, right away. Like, just sign up for, like, one and stick with that, because you're going to need to give them, like, your driver's license and, like, date of birth, maybe the social security number, and, like likely these places won't be hacked, but it could happen. And then, like, if you have it on, if you have your data on all of those, that's, like, a security risk for you, versus just having on one would be a lot nicer to it. Just like keep your information only at one party instead of like many parties.
Ben coming in with a great, great information and disclaimer. All right. Well, this is the last question that we got from Dean, from Jeremy's friend. And I'm sure we'll have a lot of good discussion on this one. But the question is, it's like what Randy was saying in the very beginning. He goes, if I'm simply buying for investment, would you recommend buying a cold wallet and transferring my coin to that? And if so, which one would you recommend? So, I mean, I have some ideas, but I'd like to hear what you guys are saying, and then I'll see if you and I are in the same boat. Hit it, Ben.
I think holding it is honestly like the best thing you can do. Like, one, for obviously the security and like privacy reasons, where now like you hold it yourself and you can't get confiscated or whatever. But like honestly, one of the best parts is like it's a lot harder to sell it if you have to like dig your cold card out of the safe, plug it in, sign a transaction and then like send it to an exchange, versus like if it's just sitting on exchange, it takes 2 seconds to sell. So you might like, you know, get like scared and sell real quick and like lose out on a big gain, or like do something you don't want to do, versus like with the, when you're like holding your own keys, it is harder to do, but that like that friction that you create makes it just harder to sell, which will probably save in the end, because at least in our eyes, Bitcoin is something you never want to sell.
Yeah, that's one of the like really cool and, in my opinion, funny parts about Swan, is they literally don't have a sell button. It's just like you can only buy Bitcoin there, and I think that that's a feature, not a bug. But yeah, great advice, Ben. Anyone else got some advice? Yes? No? Okay, well... Oh, someone... I mean, all right. Yeah. All right, go, Nick.
Go ahead.
All right,
go
ahead. I mean, if my... You know, so I'm going to assume that, Dean, you're my friend, and I'm telling you this advice because I love you. And so I would, first of all, basically ask you, what is your investment thesis? You know, like, what are you trying to do with your Bitcoins? Are you trying to hold these for long term, or is your investment on some kind of short term trading thing, which I would, you know, highly try to talk you out of. I would try to, you know, make sure that you aren't trading your Bitcoins, because like we've been saying this whole time, we're all bullish on Bitcoin. And we believe that Bitcoin is the future. And so we would say, or I would say, that you should hold Bitcoin for as long as you can. And so the investment thesis that I would recommend to my friends is just, you know, put as much as you can into Bitcoin and then don't touch it for years. And so with that advice, I would definitely recommend either, you know, getting a hardware wallet. But I know that at times, like if you're just getting into this, it gets super complicated. So I don't really want to bombard my friends with too much at one time. And so I may, you know, work it in steps and just kind of be like, okay, dude, like, let's first just get your coins off an exchange. So let's create you a wallet, whether that's a desktop wallet on your computer, or, you know, maybe a mobile wallet on your phone. And there's a lot of recommendations on those. But I would definitely, first of all, just tell you, you know, like, not your keys, not your Bitcoin. So get your coins off the exchange after you bought them, because who knows what happened on those exchanges. If you have your coin on those exchanges and they can take them away from you, they can basically lock you out of your account. And then you have no more Bitcoin. So first and foremost, I would just tell you to definitely put it in some kind of wallet, whether that's like a cold wallet or a hot wallet. It would depend on just, you know, how technical you are. So first I would just be like, yeah, man, let's just get you like a mobile phone wallet, and then we can work our steps from there. But if you're technical, then by all means, we would definitely recommend, you know, going to a hardware wallet. I know a lot of us are fans to the cold card wallet, or you can try the Trezor Model T wallet. That's a pretty solid wallet as well. And then there's some newer wallets that are a little more DIY, and some newer pretty cool looking wallets that just came out on the market. But I would just kind of caution you, if you're newer to the space, if you're not that technical, then I would go with, you know, these tried and true hardware wallets that are being recommended by solid Bitcoiners. But anyone else have some advice for Nick? Did you want to chime in and say some things?
No, I think you guys hit it all.
Throw something in there. I'm sorry. One thing is I recommend using a 24-word seed phrase and then purchasing one of these seed plates from CoinKite so that you can actually back it up to a steel plate, I think is a really good idea. And the other thing is, with the hardware wallets,
if you're long term and you're serious about it, I think you should just go straight for fully air gapped functionality, which is what Cold Card offers, because you're just basically think of your computer as a security hole. And so if you really want to get serious about it, fully air gapped functionality with the Cold Card and this kind of stuff, basically you never have to plug the hardware wallet into a computer. I think just go for that as a baseline standard, because computers are a security hole. And so, you know, but I understand, you know, if you just kind of like want to get into a mobile kind of wallet and this kind of thing, but still take your key backup serious. And so even if you just want to use like a mobile wallet, it's still going to generate your seed phrases. And so you might want to use one of these seed plates or whatever to back up your seed phrases. And so those are my thoughts on it.
Definitely solid advice. Yeah, I mean, backing up your seeds. I'm sure if Dean's still listening to this, Jeremy will walk him through some backup seed procedures and what a seed is. And yeah, I it's just I definitely agree with Randy 100%. And so these are like the best practices, and so you don't have to do all this necessarily out of the box, but it's things to strive to. So like Randy said, if you're long-term Bitcoin, then definitely do, you know, the like go all out, get yourself a Cold Card, do a seed plate and buckle down for the long road. Weenikis, did you want to add some things?
I think that's good. I think that's good.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, this is a little different than our normal teacher's lounge, because we usually just talk on current events and stuff, but we have been running for close to an hour already. So I think this might be like a solid hour of packed of information for Dean. Hopefully he's still listening. Hopefully he gets something out of this and he could come back to this. Does anyone want to say some last words before Nick and I wrap it up?
Yeah.
Join us on Bitcoin Twitter.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Jim.
So just want to say a couple words to Dean. If you're considering this Bitcoin thing, I highly recommend you do as much study as you can, as fast as you can. The train's about to leave the station and you want to be on board. So what I really want to get across is that this is the newest form of money that humanity has ever seen. It's the best form of money. Money is a very important tool. Everybody wants it and needs it. And if, like we believe, the world begins to adopt this new form of money, you're going to want as many units of it as you can get, because there's a finite amount. It's one of the reasons why it matters. It makes for one of the, you know, for the best money humans have ever seen, because of that finite amount. So this is a completely different animal. You should not consider this an investment. You should consider this a revolution. And if you want to be part of it, consider putting some serious hours of study so you can get to the level of conviction as us. And then you'll know exactly how much to put in. You'll know what kind of wallet to get. You'll air gap whatever you got to air gap. And you'll be as stoked as we are, because, you know, it'll all work out if you really want it to. But don't ignore it. Give it some serious, serious study until you can really decide to either walk away or jump in. And if you study it enough, you'll never walk away. So that's my advice.
Jim, with the wisdom. That was great advice. I would just like to maybe show some really good educational content. I know we're all fans of the Bitcoin Standard, That's a great book. If you read the Bitcoin Standard, or if you haven't read it yet, we would definitely recommend you reading it, maybe rereading it, you know. I think Vake said it in the beginning. Read Inventing Bitcoin if you want to understand some of the technicals behind Bitcoin, so you can kind of grasp the greatness of the technology and what we're actually all doing here. It's a simple read. It's pretty short, and it's written in plain English.
Yeah, it's like 100 pages. Real, you could finish it in 3 hours.
Yeah, it's a super great book. Definitely recommend Inventing Bitcoin. One other series that I really like, it's Parker Lewis's blog, Gradually Then Suddenly. He blows my mind every time that I read Parker Lewis's stuff, as well as Robert Breedlove's work. Robert has came up this year very strong with some great content. And go to the Nakamoto Institute. That's also one of the classics, one of my all-time favorite sites. Read the white paper. Can't go wrong with reading the white paper. Anyone else have some things that they want to show of some good stuff? Come back to Bitcoin Kindergarten. We'll or show up live and we'll sit here and talk with you and have fun. Ben?
There's like a million podcasts. Just go, I don't know, like there's probably all of them are good as long as it's like a Bitcoin only podcast. But I don't know, like, if you want like economics, go to like Stefan. Or like Tales from the Crypt is like generic Bitcoin stuff. I don't know. What Bitcoin Did is good for newbies. All I can think of.
I mean, there's a Bitcoin Audible. Guy's work is amazing. A bunch of our friends, you know, like Fun with Bitcoin. Nico's BitVault podcast. But those are a little more niche. And so... like I'd kind of agree with Ben. If you want that pure, go to Stefan Levera, Tales from the Crypt, read the articles I mentioned, and then you know, follow most of us on Twitter if you wanna join us on Bitcoin Twitter and have fun. Jeremy should steer you in the right direction on who and who not to follow on Twitter, and just like a special shout out to Jeremy, like. If you're friends with Jeremy Dean, he's showing you the way. You know, I know it's sometimes hard to listen to your friends shilling you investment advice, quote unquote. But Jeremy, he's one of my favorite tweeters. He's one of my favorite Bitcoiners. I love the guy. Super cool dude. Never met him before, but I just know he's a solid Bitcoiner. And yeah, man, like hope to see you soon on the interwebs. Hope you join us. Hope we gave you some good advice. Hopefully you're bullish. And, you know, hopefully when you're watching this, the Bitcoin price is pumping. And so it'll get your heart palpitating a little bit and you'll FOMO in, and like a good FOMO. Nick or Randy, yeah, anyone want to?
I think that was a perfect way to end it off. We'd love to see you on Bitcoin Twitter, Dean. And yeah, not much else to say. I think we ended it perfectly.
Awesome. All right, well, this was episode 41. Hope to see you guys next week. And, yeah, hopefully you got something from this, Dean. Peace out, dude.
Peace.
Peace and love.